Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, and the help you get is from ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Denny Long.
How are you since I seen you the few days ago?
Well, I'm just fine, thank you, and I trust that your car is starting properly.
Yes, everything is good, Dan. We bought a new battery from my wife's SUV, and it was, I'm sure it was original. Would you say that was original?
Oh, it for sure was the original one, and just for research purposes, I tested the battery, which yeah. I think you said was 5 years old, and it tested kind of marginal.
I figured.
So it was you know, preventative maintenance, which I think is a good idea.
And
and now you have a brand new battery that tests stronger than strong.
And I know you guys at Lloyd's put in good stuff too. I mean, and it's worth, I mean, given what you need it for, you want the best product you can find, right?
You know, we ask a lot of our vehicles in this climate with the severe cold and the severe heat that maybe we didn't used to get so much of, but we seem to be getting a lot of it lately. And because of those conditions, I think the parts, the maintenance, the equipment that we use is very important. And I agree that I think we should, and here at Lloyd's we do, use top quality replacement parts.
If somebody, not in our case, but if somebody has put in a brand new battery, but the vehicle is going to be left outside all winter, you know, maybe outside, you know, summer, winter, whatever. Over the winter months, can, even if it's a brand new battery, is it not a bad idea to put some kind of a tender on it, some kind of a trickle charge or whatever?
You for sure have to do something because even a brand new battery, you do not want it to go completely dead and freeze because the freezing of a battery wrecks it. And so you either need to keep the battery fully charged with some sort of battery tender, or you need to remove the battery from the vehicle and bring it into a well-ventilated, warmer space where it will not freeze.
And that'd be kind of tough to do if you have to head to work every morning with the battery, unless there's a tender on it. You know.
Right, that's correct.
All right, yep. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have to bring in your vehicle to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, something's wrong with it, you don't know what, why don't you give Dan a call or send Dan a text if that's easier. The same number applies to either the phone or the text, 651-461-9226. Dan has helped us out, helped you out on CCO here for many years, 25, 26, maybe more. And he'll do that same thing today. Keep in mind, Dan must leave around 7:45 to make way for Jack Farrell. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, send it in by a text or give him a call, and we'll help you out. 651-461-9226. Here's a text that came in a bit ago. It says a 2011 Buick LaCerne ABS brakes go off coming to a stop sign intermittently. Computer says the right rear wheel, two new wheel bearings and a wiring harness on rear wheel still doing it. Although the mechanic says possibly a computer problem, and they want to know your thoughts, if you understood what I just read.
I did understand what you said. What they're talking about is that in the wheel bearings and in the there's counters, there's a magnetic counter that sends the computer data about how fast one of the each of the four wheels is turning, and if one of the wheels when you're braking was to lock up on ice, in other words, if it takes less braking for that wheel if you're on ice, and so if that wheel locks up, the computer will know that, and it will pulse the brakes so that that wheel doesn't lock up, and you're able to stay in control. as long as the wheels are turning, you have way more control of your vehicle than if the wheels are locked up because you've applied the brakes so hard. Back in the old days, it's why they taught us to pump the brakes, you know, when you're on ice. And now, you know, the computers will do that automatically for you. But at any rate, the computer is seeing a problem with one of the rear wheels, and the bearing has been changed, which one thing that could be a problem. Is that new bearing a problem? We have found that in the past. And the other thing that we find is that oftentimes it's a connection. You know, that wiring harness that goes to the rear wheels is a long harness, and there's room for trouble in that. We've seen it, Denny, where mice have gotten in and chewed on wiring, things like that. So I guess my first thought would be to check that the strength of that wiring harness and be sure that that's all intact and capable of receiving the message from the wheel bearing. And then I would manually test that wheel bearing with a multimeter and see that we're getting a good signal out of that wheel bearing. But oftentimes when in an intermittent deal like that, we find that it is a connection, that the signal getting to the computer is just not quite good enough. It could be a problem with the computer itself, but I think that would probably be rare. We don't see that very often. More often we find an external problem with the vehicle.
Okay. 651-461-9226. Don't hesitate. Give Dan a call or send Dan a text if you have any kind of a car care question, as I said, because Dan will be with us for a little less than a half hour from now, so don't wait. We had a text earlier, and I know we get, every so often we'll get questions about a product called Seafoam. I've never used it, and I know a lot of people have, and some people believe in it, and I have no idea. What is it, and is it necessary?
Well, it's an additive chemical that you add to your gas or to your oil or so forth. They make several different lines. I would compare it to a thing that we've talked about, like Stabil, you know, gas stabilizer.
Oh, sure.
And what it is I'm not a chemist, so I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, but pretty much what it is, you know, oil and gas and all of the fluids, coolant, transmission fluid, they all have additive packages that the manufacturer puts in them to work best with their particular vehicle. And the additives like Seafoam and Stabil and the other ones that are on the market are products that perhaps add to or enhance the additive package that's already in the fluid that you're putting in your car. So people ask me, you know, what do you think? And it's like, well, I'll just tell you, I personally don't use them in my own vehicles. I'm content with the additive package that the manufacturer puts in. I do use the exact fluid that the manufacturer recommends, and we do at Lloyd's here also. But a lot of people are sold on additional additives, and if you are, that's great. I've never heard that it's a problem to add additives to your fluids, but I'm not sure that it's necessary.
Gotcha.
So if you grew up and your dad did it his whole life and it worked great for him and you've been doing it your whole life, then that's what you should keep doing, because it makes you feel good.
It's kind of like chicken soup. It can't hurt.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on, Dan. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive helping you out today. 651-461-9226. When we come back, we'll grab some more text messages. And if you'd like to chat with Dan, Call them. Same number, 651-461-9226. Oh, it's now 38 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's going to be a nice sunny day, though. We'll talk more weather coming up in a moment or two. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which, Dan, is located exactly where?
Well, thanks for asking, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that phone number before Dan leaves us here this morning, which is probably in about 15, 20 minutes. Speaking of phone calls, Dan, Richard in St. Paul, I think, is first up here on the phone. Richard, thank you. What's your question for Dan? Hello, Richard. Okay. I guess.
Hello, the question is.
Yes.
Hello.
Go ahead, Richard.
I had my battery, my car serviced this past week. The battery seems fairly good, but it needs attention. And I was to have it charge and retest using a DCA. What does that mean?
I'm not sure exactly what the letters DCA stand for, but there's different testing units that you can use on a battery. One is an actual carbon pile load tester where you can simulate a load similar to the engine cranking, which is, you know, where you're going to have the strongest or the biggest load on a battery. And the battery should be capable of maintaining that load for 15 seconds and then and still maintain a high enough voltage to start the vehicle. And that's probably not the tool that they're recommending that you check it with, but maybe. And then there's another one that the battery manufacturers actually put out, and it somehow chemically tests the battery, the situation that's going on inside the battery. It's not nearly as big of a piece of equipment, not as cumbersome, and it seems to be very accurate. And so I think maybe what they're recommending is that you have your battery recharged, which is always a good idea to have the battery fully charged, especially if you don't drive very much, and then have the battery tested again. And in that process, if you bring it into a shop to have that done, they'll be sure that the cables are clean and that you have a good connection and all that sort of all those sorts of things, so that you're ready for winter. If after they recharge the battery, it checks marginal like Denny's did or worse, then they're going to recommend that you buy a new battery. And depending upon how old it is, that may or may not be a good idea.
Okay. Batteries seem to be big questions this morning, and there's a bunch of them. Like, how do you know if you need one? What should it test at? How long do batteries usually last? Things like that. Well, how long do they usually? You and I have talked about like five, 6 years as kind of a barometer.
I think that's the first question you should ask yourself: is my battery 5 or 6 years old? And if it is, then I think you can be pretty comfortable that if you go get a new battery, you're not wasting your money doing that. I think it's good preventative maintenance to do that. However, the questions like, how should my battery test? How good, you know, how strong should it be? What should the numbers be?
Yeah.
Every battery is different. When we test a battery, we program into that little battery checker what the cold cranking amp capacity of the battery is, what the manufacturer says the battery is capable of, and then we simulate that with the tool, and it'll either pass or fail being able to do that. So I can't give you an exact number. However, when your battery's cranking, when the car is turning over on a severely cold morning, if the voltage doesn't stay high enough, it won't fire the coils and fire the fuel injectors and things like that. It might still be slowly cranking, but there's not enough juice there to run the rest of the car. And that's where you run into trouble. That's where, you know, the, for example, if the vehicle's cranking slowly due to because the battery is low, maybe the fuel injectors still are firing, but the ignition coils are not. And in a case like that, you're immediately going to flood your vehicle. And then when you do get the battery charged or put a new battery in, it's not going to start anyway because it's so flooded. So that's the reason that preventative maintenance is so important. And, you know, check your vehicle out. Have all of that stuff ready to go before the weather gets cold, because when the weather's 20 below, it's really hard to get some help then. You're stuck then.
Be proactive, All right, Dan, hang on. We're going to take a break for that forecast. It's going to be a little warmer, at least for a few days. So stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering your car care questions for a few more minutes. Dan, bunch of text messages. Let's see how many we can get through here before you take your leave. Here's a 2004 Silverado. All these lights came on, the ABS, brake and service, four-wheel drive lights are on. What should I check is the question.
Well, I'm not sure that if they first thing you should do is pull over, turn the vehicle off, restart it. I'm sorry, restart it and see if all the lights go off. In other words, see if there's a pattern. See if it's a hard code that's being stored in your computer. If it is, if the light keeps coming back on every time you drive or every drive cycle, then you're going to need to bring it in and find out what's going on. There's, you know, 100 different things that could cause those lights to go on. And when you bring it into the shop, they're going to check your anti-lock brake system for codes, and I'm sure they'll find some. And then from that, they're going to decide what to do with that. But as far as what you can personally do, you've probably done all you can. If restarting the car doesn't take care of it, then you're going to have to get some help.
Yep. All right, let's see. Here's a 2001 Ford F-150. This is another battery question. I bought a new battery because it failed. Now the battery light is on. I took it in. All systems were tested and performed fine. What do you think?
Well, if the battery light's on, something's going on. So I guess the first thing I would do is disconnect the battery and reconnect the battery. And see if that makes a difference. Probably won't. And if the battery light is staying on, then you probably have something going on with your alternator. Maybe it's still charging some, but not to full capacity or something like that. But if the battery light is on, then the battery charging system is having a problem.
Okay. Here is a text that says 2009 Honda Civic. The passenger side blinker is blinking really fast. I replaced all blinking bulbs front and back on the passenger side. Still doing it. What causes this, do you think?
Well, I think if the bulbs are all working correctly and lighting up and you're sure that all the bulbs are, sometimes on a system there's two bulbs in the rear. And, of course, if one of those is out, it'll blink fast. The fast blinking is to warn you that there's a bulb out. But if the bulb is not out, then the next piece of equipment in that system is the turn signal flasher relay. And I actually just replaced one on my granddaughter's car, which was an 08 Honda Accord. And that's what turned out to be the problem. The turn signal flasher relay had failed. On her car, it happened to be right by the fuse panel, right down by your left foot on the driver's side. But at any rate, to find it, if you just turn, you know, if you just turn on the turn signals and listen, you'll find out the area where it's coming from, and then just put your finger on the relay that you think it is, and you'll actually feel it clicking, and then you'll know that you've got the right part. But that's what happened to be wrong on her car. And but first thing you should do is be sure that you have all the bulbs working correctly.
Okay. Easier test. We were talking about additives earlier in the show, Dan. Here's the text that says, my dad used to use a product called Heat that he added to his gasoline. What was that product?
Well, that actually was an alcohol-based product that we used to put in to prevent gas line freeze, which actually I've never seen in my life where gas line was actually frozen. But it has happened, I'm sure. And we used to put that preventatively in the gas for in severe cold weather so that the gas line didn't freeze with moisture. It took, you know, the alcohol takes the moisture out of the gas. But nowadays, the most gas has alcohol in it already. So I think for the severe winter season, if you're using an ethanol-based gasoline, then the heat product or the alcohol-type product will no longer be necessary.
Okay. Let's see. Here's a new Toyota Tundra. They, meaning the manufacturer, recommends an oil change at 10,000 miles, synthetic oil. Seems like a lot of miles, and this texter is wondering if they should change it a bit earlier than 10,000.
I would. I do. I have a Toyota product also, and I do not let it go 10,000 miles for an oil change. Here at Lloyd's, with conventional oil, we recommend changing the oil every 3,000 miles, and with synthetic oil, every 5,000 miles. And that's what I do on my own vehicle, so I guess that's what I would recommend to you also.
Yeah,
I agree, 10,000 miles feels uncomfortable. First of all, I want to get my car in for service more often than once a year or once every 9 months. So, you know, I think the rest of the vehicle needs to be checked out anyway. So I agree. I think 10,000 miles is a little far.
Okay. Here's a text that says, what is the downside or concerns of buying a lower mileage nice car that has not been driven a great deal? So one that's just been sitting around.
Well, we talk about that. I think that a vehicle sitting around is as hard on the vehicle as using a lot, maybe harder. And so, you know, you'll have to check it for things like rusty brake rotors and fluid leaks and all those sorts of things. You can't assume that just because it has not been used that all those systems are good. It seems like people still, when they're buying a used car, want a low mileage car. So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a negative fact, but proceed cautiously, knowing that just because it's been sitting around doesn't mean that systems haven't deteriorated and they might still need some attention.
Okay. As you know, our listeners are so smart. We get comments all the time and tips. Here's one. It says about those fast turn signals. This texter discovered that replacing incandescent bulbs with LEDs cause fast blinking because they do not draw enough current. Thanks from Keith in Bloomington. That's interesting.
Yeah, and that would be true. The current draw is what causes the turn signal flasher to work properly. When there's not proper resistance, then the turn signal flasher flashes too fast. And that's the warning that you've got a bulb out. So there you have it. Make sure you're putting the right bulb in the vehicle also.
I know we have to break here for Jack, and I want to alert our listeners. I think we can grab one more text, but any text we didn't get to, and I appreciate your patience, we're going to open up the show with next Saturday, so be advised of that. This one says their tires, they were told their tires are cupped. What is it, and is it correctable?
Well, it's a couple things cause it. One is the vehicle. All-wheel drive vehicles seem to be harder on tires than front or rear wheel drive tires, and so it has to do with the vehicle, and it also has to do with the type of tire that's on your car. Some types of tire with the tread wear pattern have more cupping that goes on. So that's the other thing that can cause it, and the solution is to rotate your tires properly. And most manufacturers, Denny, nowadays recommend that you rotate the tires with every oil change. And by rotating them front and rear the way that we do, it keeps the tires, first of all, they wear longer. It's better for the tires. You get more mileage out of them, and it prevents the cupping that happens from a particular pattern in the tire and the way that the tire and the suspension work together. You know, what really happens is the tire kind of bounces down the road a little bit based on the suspension, and every time it hits the road, it causes a little skid, and that little skid is what causes the cupping. But at any rate, rotate your tires frequently, and that'll help take care of that problem.
Excellent. Yeah, the listener says that they're very loud when driving.
They are very loud. That's true. They sound like an old snow tire.
Let's get some info on how we can get in touch with you and your crew at Lloyd's Automotive.
Well, best thing to do is come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call as soon as today, 651-228-1316.
Well, I'm not going to let you go quite yet, okay, because we got more texts, and I don't want to leave people hanging here. Another quick battery question. Does the battery light always go on if a battery is needed, or does it just not start?
No, you cannot measure a battery by the battery light. If the battery light's going on, more commonly it's a charging problem. In other words, the alternator is not charging the battery. You can't wait for your battery light to come on to know that you need a new battery. That's not a good diagnosis.
Good deal. Well, it was great seeing you this past week, Dan, as usual, and I hope we can talk some more and help listeners out next Saturday.
Sounds great. I'll be here.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Dan Burns, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Thanks. Ted is in for Father Jack Farrell from Haskell's coming along in just a moment or two here on a Saturday morning. 38 degrees now in the Twin Cities. Stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that?
It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.